Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. And let's stand together. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and we'll read starting in verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 6 is, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Father, bless this time that we have. Speak to our hearts, and I ask that you would lead, guide, and direct in everything, and may you be pleased when it's all done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, well, what I need to start with is I need a smile. My goodness, I'm looking around the room, and doom and gloom and despair. And, you know, I know you're probably expecting some deep, hidden theological message, but that's not what you're going to get from me. I still see gloom and despair. Is it that bad? Is life that rough? It is. It's hard, isn't it? I tell you what, it's just a couple smiles here and there. There's a few more. Some smiles. There you go. Even if they're fake, it's okay, right? All right. Well, the fact is this. You know what we've done is we've allowed the world, our flesh, we've allowed the devil, we allow circumstances, we allow everything in this life to rob us of one thing that in all reality nobody can take away from us unless we give it up. And you know what that is? Our joy. We let the world rob us of our joy. We come in here and we expect that, well, it's just another boring preacher and I got to get through this and get to my next class. I remember those days. I remember working all night. I feel for you college students, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't ever want to go back. Never, ever, ever do I want to go back. Working all night and then coming to school the next morning at 7 a.m. and going like this. Sitting on the front row, trying as hard as... One day I was sitting there in the front row, 7 o'clock in the morning is our first class. I just got off work from working all night long. I'm sitting here, and next thing I remember is my head like this and my eyes open, and there were two sets of feet, or one set of feet, right on the floor in front of me. And I followed the feet up the legs, and I followed it to the suit jacket and to the face as the teacher was doing this over top of me. And I learned real quick, stay awake in class. You know, you don't want to fall asleep. But we've allowed things in our life, it robs us of joy. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we could go through and look at, and we can sit and do, and if you don't have joy while you're doing it, it's just no fun. You go to a job, and if it's just a drudgery all day long, you just hate getting up and going to work, you hate going to the job, you hate doing anything, and it's just no fun whatsoever, and it's a drudgery every step of the way through that job. You get up in the morning and go, ah, I got to go to school again. And you just drag through the days because there's no joy whatsoever in your life. We've gone in, and if you're not careful, and I'll get a little bit theological here with you this morning for the college student's sake, because there's so much knowledge in this middle right here, right? Is this where the knowledge is, Brother Ramos? It is, okay. Not on the sides. But all the knowledge, right? But you know what we've done is we've allowed the charismatics to rob us of the Holy Spirit. Because we're afraid, well, they're going to think that I'm, a holy roller. They're going to think that that I'm going to speak in tongues. They're going to think that I'm a little bit weird if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us and use us. And we could go the other way. We go on this side. We sit there, and because we are so much into this thing of it's you're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way to get to heaven, and it is not of works. Well, that's a true statement, correct? But what we've done is, because we don't want people to think we're good works, we don't do good works. But yet the Bible teaches that we're still to do good works after salvation. And we've allowed false doctrines, we've allowed other things to rob us of things from the Bible. And one of the things we've allowed the world to rob us of is our joy. Well, you don't understand. Look at what our government's doing. Well, you know what? We might not be able to change what the government's doing, but I do know this. It doesn't have to affect my joy. And you say, well, you don't understand. I got all this bill piled up, and I have to have this much money paid before the spring semester starts. What in the world am I going to do? And we allow finances to rob us of joy. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I go to this Christian school, but my dad's over here, or my mom's over here. I don't have this. Listen, just because you don't have something, just because something isn't quite right, just because there's trouble over here or over there, doesn't mean you have to be robbed of joy. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Isn't it amazing that in the same verse, it was one coin, and on one side of the coin, greatly rejoicing, and on the other side of the coin, heaviness through manifold temptations. You might have to go through hard times for a little while right now, but I'm going to tell you, that doesn't have to affect my joy. It doesn't have to affect the smile. I can't even look as grumpy as you people. I'm trying right now. Is it that bad? You don't understand, preacher. Let's have a healing service right now. Gets people happy. All right, we'll come down here. Let's have Brother Armacost right here, and we'll have Brother Ramus right there, and we'll just pray, and we'll lay hands on you and heal you of sadness. Is that what we need to, you know? And we'll have Mr. Mitchell back here, and he'll be praying. Oh, God. Heal them of the sadness, please. I'm making fun because I want you to laugh a little bit. You know, serving God is fun. Amen. Serving God is a good time. And if you allow yourself to sit there and think, well, the Christian life is hard, and the Christian life is too difficult, and my circumstances are just unbearable, and we allow all of those circumstances and those burdens and that hardship to affect our joy, and we walk around and wonder, why doesn't anybody want what we have? Well, would you want what you have? Let's get excited about serving God. And I'm going to tell you right now, the best time to get excited, who's the youngest person in here? Seventh graders? Do we have seventh graders in here? You know what? How about you get excited about serving God now, and your life is just going to be a whole lot easier going forward. Serve God. Be excited about it. Well, the Bible goes on, and he says in verse number 8, whom having not seen, has anybody seen the Lord? Last night while I was sleeping, at the foot of my bed, up through the floor, this shining light. And as the light was beginning to get brighter, as it was rising up out of the floor, I saw this figure. And I beheld his beauty. And I was so excited, I almost knocked on the wall and said, Brother Ramus, come over here. Okay, that really didn't happen. We've not seen the Lord, have we? You, with your physical eyes, have not seen the Lord. I hope you haven't, right? I mean, your physical eyes, you haven't seen the Lord. But you know what? The Bible says right here, whom having not seen, ye love. You haven't seen the Lord, but you love him, don't you? I've not physically, with my eyes, seen the Lord, but I love him. The Bible says, even though, in the rest, though now ye see him not, yet believe. Even though I've not seen him, I believe he's there. And even though I've not seen him, I love him. And the Bible says, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, you can get excited about somebody you've never seen. You can get excited about somebody that you can't see with your physical eyes, and that's the Lord. And you can love him, and you can believe him. Get excited about serving God. Get excited about serving God. I'm going to tell you, we can sit here and be a bump of a log. You say, are they allowed to say amen in here? I mean, is there a rule that says, well, preacher, amen. It's that bad, huh? Are you wanting to go home? Is that the problem? It's like, you know what? I only got a couple days left. I can't stand these finals. I got to get out of this place. You know, but when you go home, remember the joy of the Lord. when you come back next spring, remember the joy of the Lord. You know, when you wake up Christmas morning, I don't know if you all do presents or not, but it's pretty fun, you know, if you ask me. But, you know, I don't know if you do presents or not, but you remember this. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. Do you have the Lord? The joy of the Lord. Now, there's several things I want to give you. Look over in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15. And look in verse number 13. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. In Romans chapter number 15, I don't know what you was all expecting as far as the message. I remember being at Sauk Village, and of course I'd preach chapel. I was the blessed and privileged one with getting to preach chapel every day. So you'd have to come up with five messages. You know, we had chapel 5 days a week. And so you sit there and you preach, and after a while you're going, what do I give these guys? Well, the fact is this. You're being taught the Bible, hopefully, in your home. You're having your own personal devotions each and every day, I assume, right? If you're not, stand up, please, so I can yell at you. Did anybody not have their devotions today? Please stand up. Okay, so either you're a liar or everybody had their devotions. You say, are you kidding, man? I don't want to get embarrassed. But you're supposed to be having your devotions every day, which means you're learning about the Lord, learning the Word of God. Am I correct? I mean, this group right here, you came to college to learn the Bible, learn about the Lord, correct? That one's on the outside. Your parents are sending you to a Christian school so you can not only get an education to function in the world, but also to have a Christian environment and learn about the Lord. So you're to be studying and learning on your own. You're doing all these things. You go to church, several times a week. You have different activities, and it's all based upon the Word of God. So I could come here and I could try to teach you something that you didn't ever hear before, and it wouldn't do you a bit of good because you wouldn't pay attention. You would file it in file number 13, which is where all my stuff goes. You say, what's file 13? I read it in the mail and put it in the garbage. You know, it's like, yeah, it smells Southern Baptist right away. Oh, yep, ministerial association in town, throw that away. You know, it just gets filed away, and you forget it. Or I can give you something that could change your life. Because if you could get a hold of this thing of joy, it changes everything. If you enjoy your job, it changes the whole job. If you enjoy going to church, it changes your whole life. If I have to come to church on Sunday and I'm sitting there like a bump in a log, it's like, oh, how many more songs do we have to sing? Do we have to sing every verse of that song? You know how long? That's 2 pages in the songbook, and he has to sing all 5 verses. I'm sick of singing that. Oh, does that sister have to sing again? If I have to listen to her one more time, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do they not realize that they cannot play that instrument? Why do they keep volunteering to play? What is wrong with these people? Doesn't the leadership of this church understand? You know what? You could either dread every, you know, we're joking and making you laugh, but think about it. How many times have we had a bad attitude and you come into church and you dread it? How long are they going to drag this invitation? Oh, great, somebody else is getting saved. I wanted to go home. We're having pizza tonight after church. I'm being honest, right? Isn't that the way it is? Somebody's getting dealt with at the altar, and we got to sing another verse of invitation? Oh, great. I thought we was going to get out, and now we got 5 getting baptized. Now, come on. You know what happened? Is we're not joyful about the things of God. And because we're not joyful about the things of God, everything is a drudgery. If you could understand, if you could have joy reading your Bible, do you know how much easier it is to read the Word of God? Amen. If you have joy in your life when it comes to praying, how much easier it is to pray. If you have joy in your life, you say, man, I'm so excited I get to go to school today. Well, that's stupid. Well, be the stupid one then. You be the stupid one. I don't know how it is. I know. Listen, when we moved from Indiana to Illinois years ago, my wife and I were married. 2 weeks after we were married, we moved to Illinois. I did it smart. I got married, then went to college, and had kids while I was in college. And so you're working two and three jobs to pay for not only a home and a wife and children, but then I got to go to school and go to classes. I was smart. You know, I did it the smart way, you know. But I sit there and I look, and I wouldn't change. Now looking back, I wouldn't change anything. Because you know what we did? We wanted to come sit on the front row. I wanted some of that holy water. I wanted some of that spit that was flying out from the preacher. He's like, ew, that's so disgusting. That's why I sit way back there. You can sit in the back all you want. I wanted to be on the front where it was hot and fresh and ready to be served up right then. Why? I couldn't wait to get to church. I couldn't wait to get there. I couldn't wait to for the things of God. I couldn't wait to read the Bible. I couldn't wait to get those things. And once you get a glimpse of having joy in your life, you can't wait for those things. You know the problem is? We're excited when it comes to, oh, we're going to Six Flags this summer. I can't wait. And we'll spend 2 weeks every day. It's just like time drags because we can't wait to go do that. Well, what about this? Man, I can't wait because you know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning? What? What are you going to do tomorrow morning? I'm going to read my Bible. And so you sit there and you think, that's so crazy. Well, how in the world could you love reading your Bible that much? How in the world could you love talking to the Lord that much? How? Why? Because of this thing of joy.
Amen.
This thing of joy. What we do is we allow circumstances to affect our joy.
But he broke up with me.
Well, that's bad. But you know, later down the road, you might look back and go, well, that's good. That was good, ha! Huh? You got him now. You know, that's pretty good. The laugh's on you. You know, but you sit there. Listen, not every circumstance is good. I understand that. You get heartbroken with things. You go home and you face things that maybe you shouldn't have to face. But you know what? God doesn't change.
Amen.
God doesn't change, and therefore your joy shouldn't have to change either. All right, now. I've been running the mouth too long, and I'm not giving you enough verses here. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all what? With all what? And what? Peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize the God of hope wants to give you something? He wants to give you a little bit of joy. Is that what the Bible says? Wants to give you a little bit of joy? Just a fraction? Only a little? Okay, we're going back down into the sad mode again here. How much joy? You know, God, the God of hope, wants to give you all joy. Think about this, right? All joy. That's what he wants to give you. And then he says, not only that, but he says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound. You know, just as a reference sake, let's jump back a little bit. Look in verse number 10. And it says, and again he saith, now read this with me, verse number 10, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Anybody in here a Jew? Do we have any Jewish person in here? None. You bunch of dogs. We're a bunch of Gentiles, aren't we? But you know what the Bible says? We can rejoice with God's people. You and I can rejoice. And then he says in verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Man, you can get excited about God. You can get excited about the things of God, and you can have joy in your life. You know, reading your Bible is not a drudgery. Praying is not a drudgery. Going to church is not something that's like, oh, I got to endure that again. Oh, great, a revival this week? Yeah, you get to go to church every night. You ought to have revivals the way I had when I was 16, 17 years old. You say, what was that? Two-week revivals twice a year. Two-week revivals. And you know what? I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, we had our two-week revival, and we got married on a Saturday, and Sunday morning, guess where I was? I was at our church. Guess where we were during our honeymoon? Monday night. We went to church. Tuesday night, we went to church. Wednesday night, you say, how could you do that? I loved it. Do you love it? Do you love God? Or is it a show? You excited about God? Or is it, listen, how many in here, and I'll include you guys too, how many in here are called to preach? Hopefully no ladies raise your hand. Okay, that's good. All right. How many are, you know, you're called to preach, you know exactly what God wants you to do, whether it's pastor, missionary, youth director, whatever it is. Anybody know, or are you just called to preach and just open to the idea, all right? So we sit here and look at that. So we had several called to preach. How do you think your ministry is going to go without joy? Not going to work so well, I'm going to tell you right now. You say, but does everything have to be about joy? Well, the Bible says, rejoice, ye Gentiles. The Bible says in verse 11, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And it says, laud him, all ye people. You know, you could get excited about God. You say, what's that mean to laud something? Well, I guess if you look at the root word, it kind of has this idea. Getting excited about something. You like it. You enjoy it. And you need to do that with God. Enjoy God. Have some joy in your life. You say, what happens if this really bad thing happens in my life? Sorry that happened, but you can still have joy in God. Amen. Well, what happens if I lose everything financially? Sorry that happens, but you can still have joy in God. Well, what happens if I flunk one of my finals? Sorry that happened, but you can still have joy in God. We don't need to let circumstances control our lives. You need to have some joy. Now, I'm going to give you several things because I do not have time to go through every point. But let me just give them to you real quick. So here's some facts about joy. One, God is the one that fills you with joy. That's where your joy is going to come from, is God. If your joy comes from something else, what happens when that something else breaks? You ever see somebody get a brand new car? You ever see that person be so excited? Do you ever run into that person after the first scratch? Their joy went to the depths of despair. You know, get your joy from God, not something else. All right? Something, here's another fact. Being filled with the Spirit produces joy. I do believe the Bible says in Galatians 6:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, and temperance. So there's nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean, the fruit of the Spirit? Well, if the Holy Spirit is in you and controlling you, what is produced in your life is, and one of those things is, joy. Now let me ask you this. If you have no joy, what are you telling everybody? The Holy Spirit's not there. Because a natural product of the Holy Spirit is joy. So if there's no joy, you understand where we're going with that? Joy. Do you know the man of God is there to help your joy? You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24, but Apostle Paul says, man, I'm going to help your joy. He said, well, I don't like what that guy preached. He's there to help your joy. Well, but Pastor Dameron said, listen, he might have to step on your toes once in a while. He might have to get on you. He might have to do those things. But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to help your joy. You say, man, all he's doing is yelling at me because I'm wrong. Well, get right and you'll be happy. You say, how will I be happy? He won't yell at you anymore. Some joy. You know, there's several things in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, when you study the thing of joy, that gave joy to the believers in the New Testament. You know, at the birth of Christ, there was joy? Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. You know, at the resurrection of Christ, there was joy? Matthew 28, verse number 8. Remember, there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And man, they had fear when they found the tomb empty, but they were filled with joy. But when the lost get saved, according to Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and verse number 10, when the lost get saved, when one sinner repents, guess what? There's joy in heaven. Do you know when the New Testament believers had trouble? According to Luke 6, 22 and 23, they had joy. You say, now wait a minute. I'll have joy when it's going good. And preacher, I'll have joy when I get an A. And preacher, I'll have joy when I graduate. And preacher, I'll have joy when this happens in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now, I can't smile and have joy when there's trouble. Man, there's the test of a true Christian, is it not? When there's trouble. Do you understand that the New Testament Christians, when there were trials, they had joy, according to James 1:2? Do you understand that according to the Bible, the New Testament Christians, when there was tribulations, according to 2 Corinthians 7, 4 through 5, that they had joy? See, it's not about if it goes our way. It's not about if it's something that we want or like. It's all about our joy being in God, and therefore everything else falls into place. Can you see a little bit that if you have joy in God, how much now it's easier to go soul winning? How much easier it is to study your Bible? How much easier it is to spend time in prayer? How much easier it is to go to church? How much easier it is to study for whatever class you're taking? How much easier it is to honor mom and dad? How much easier it is, if the case be, that you obey mom and dad? How much easier it is to obey them, to have the rule over you? See, when there's joy in the Lord, all those other things become easier. I'm not saying that it will all be peaches and cream, but it becomes a lighter. You know, that's why the Lord, he says, listen, my burden that I want you to carry is light. If you could see what the world gets into, and I don't know how much of you have tasted the world. I'm assuming the outside you've been sheltered. Maybe some on this row you haven't been as sheltered. Maybe, and you've seen the destructiveness of the world. But I'm going to tell you, if you get involved in that, you're going to understand how heavy of a burden you will carry and how hard your life is and how hard it becomes and how difficult things are and how the joy. But they just look so happy on that billboard. It's fake.
Yeah. Yep.
Why do you think they picked the most handsome guy and the most beautiful girl to advertise a beer? Because they don't want to show you the drunk laying out on the street somewhere that his liver is all green.
Right.
They don't want to show you the lung that is all black because they've spent time smoking. They don't want to show you that the face of a person that has done methamphetamines and how their teeth are rotted out and they got blotches all over their face and it's all shrunken down and old looking and ugly. Because that's what sin does.
Yep.
And that's the burden of those hard things that you have to face. And if you will realize how good you have it here and get some joy in your life right here and right now, God wants everything to be easy.
Amen.
It's not that it's going to be, it's not that there's not going to be hard times, but through the hard times you can have joy. And through the trials you can have joy. And through the tribulations you can have joy.
Amen.
You can enjoy life. Doesn't God want us to have the abundant life? And yet we walk around like it's the worst thing in the world is to be a Christian. And we have this little martyr sign on our back because of what I've had to go through. Well, when you've been burned at a stake, then you can hang a martyr sign on your back. But until then, let's get rid of the martyr signs. And let's serve God with some joy and gladness. I won't have you turn there just because there's not time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2, you write that down, look it up later. There were some churches that were poor. And they were going to give money. And you read that verse, and what you're going to find out is there's a word, affliction, in that verse. There is a word, poverty, in that verse. And there is a word, joy, in that verse. And I want you to know that affliction, poverty, and joy can coexist. You study that. You look at it. You say, I don't want affliction. All right, neither do I. Who wants affliction? Well, I don't want poverty. Who does? Who wants poverty? Oh, please. I just want no money whatsoever. I mean, aren't you like me just once in a while? I lay in bed, I look at my wife and go, what could we buy if we had $1 million? Anybody ever dream like that? Or am I the only fleshly one in here? You sit there and you think, how cool would it be to write a $100,000 check as your tithe? How cool would it be to say, I think I'll throw an extra $20,000 in for missions? No, preacher, that's not a mistake. I meant those zeros on there. Do I get a plaque on the wall? After you get done being spiritual, then you say, what kind of house would we buy? I'm going to tell you right now, and this isn't flesh, this isn't very spiritual, I'm going to be honest with you. But if I struck it rich, and the Lord would let me, and I sure hope he would, I'm going straight to some auction somewhere and buying a 69 Mustang, I'm telling you right now. That's just the way it is. You say, the Lord will let you do that? Probably not, but I can dream about it. But we'll dream about those kind of things. We don't want to be poor. But what if affliction comes and poverty comes? Why can't there still be joy? Why not? Here was a poor church in 2 Corinthians 8:2 that was in afflictions, and yet, you know what they did? They gave. And in giving, man, there was joy. Anyway, you read that for yourself. Now, look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In fact, you know what? Let's do this way. Let's save some time. Can you read John 15, 11? And then can you look up John 16, 24? And then can you do 1 John 1, 4? All right? So we're going to go to John 15, 11 first of all. John 15, 11. All right, go ahead and read that. All right. So he says, he spoke some words, right? The words of God. And the reason he did is so that their joy might be full. You want to have fullness of joy? Keep the commandments of God. All right? Second one is John 16, 24.
Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full.
You haven't asked, so what are we supposed to do? Ask. Why? Man, you can have fullness of joy. My kids have learned over the years that what they do is they'll come up and they'll, Kara is my youngest. And I'm not sure how this works. I never thought I would fall into this trap, but I guess I have. But I realized at some point in life that what they would do is they would say, Kara, go ask Dad if he will do this. Go ask Dad if we could go to McDonald's. Go ask Dad if we could. And so, you know, she'd come in. She's a little bit bigger now, but especially she's smaller. Daddy? Yes. Can we go to McDonald's? Oh, okay. Well, let's go ahead and go. They learned real quick, send her to go ask. And when they received, there was joy, I'm going to tell you right now. Well, guess what? You know all of us could be God's favorite? Why don't you go to God and ask? Why not? Why don't you go to God? You say, I don't know what I'm going to do about the finances next spring of my college bill. Did you ask God about it? I'm not saying, well, Mr. Armacost, what am I going to do? Well, unless he's got like gold bars somewhere stuck away, there's not a whole lot he can do for you. Well, Mr. Ramos, I don't know what I could do. Listen, I'm not putting down Mr. Ramos. I love Brother Ramos. But do you understand your prayers can be answered just as much as his can? I don't mean that as a criticism. He knows what I'm talking about. Listen, you have direct access to God. And if you have a need, ask. And God says, if I answer your prayer, man, that's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And then 1 John 4. You were right. I was wrong. 1 John 1:4. Oh, that your joy may be full. You know, when you study that passage of Scripture, you know what you're going to find out? There was fellowship among God's people. So it comes down to this. You want fullness of joy? You keep the commandments of God. You want fullness of joy? Get your prayers answered. You want fullness of joy? Fellowship with God's people. Now that's profound. Can we simplify it even farther? You want fullness of joy? Walk with God and walk with God's people.
Amen.
Now that's simple. And you know what you can have? It don't have to be that stupid, but you don't understand what I'm saying. You can have some joy in your life. You can have some joy in your life.